Our first reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. The reading begins at verse 54. Let us open our minds and our hearts to God's Word. Coming to his hometown, Jesus began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own town and his own home. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from the book of Jeremiah. Hear the words of the Lord as he talks to Jeremiah. He says, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am your Lord. I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning I want to talk to you about making things. How many of you have ever made something at some point in your life? Hopefully everyone's hand goes up. Maybe it was a quilt, maybe it's a bookshelf or a scarf. Maybe you are one of those people who like to rebuild cars. Maybe you've taken on a project of building a room addition to your house. Maybe you've built a Pinewood Derby car. Or maybe, just maybe, you've gone out on a limb and you've even built a sandcastle or two. I'll bet everyone here today has spent some time building something in their life. From our youngest to our oldest, we've made at least something. Now, take a moment and think about everything that you've made. Some of you, it might be a shorter moment than others. Think about everything that you've made. Now, how many of you have made anything absolutely perfect? No stitches dropped, no thumbs hit with a hammer, no grain of sand out of place. Why is it that no matter how good something looks, no matter how amazing it might appear, if we are the ones that created it, it's never perfect? We always find something wrong with it. You might not know this about me, but I like to do woodworking. I like to dabble in woodworking. The first thing I remember making out of wood that was actually making something, not just nailing two things together, was a sign I made in industrial tech class in seventh grade, back when they called it industrial tech. I have moved since my seventh grade year to making other things. Actually, the year later, I made a sweater or a sweatshirt that my mom actually had for a long time in home ec class, which I am a seamstress too. Yes, you did not know that. But now I have moved beyond making little projects in that industrial tech class to making furniture and things around our house. I've actually, before my oldest was born, I actually built a crib and a changing table in which all three of our children used. And when I say a make, I don't mean I bought it at IKEA and brought it home and screwed the screws together with the Allen wrench they provided. I actually built these pieces of furniture. And many people say that they are beautiful. They like them. They're very nice and crafted. But I know different. All of my children have used these items. And I hope that someday, because they're so well made, that my kids' kids, my grandchildren, will also use these items. But despite how well they look, despite how many people say, oh my gosh, that is so beautiful, I have a hard time showing them to people. Because I know where the flaws are. I know where the imperfections are. I know where I slipped with my router bit, digging a little too far into a spindle that I crafted. That one's on the back side of the crib, so no one can see. I also know where the piece of wood that was supposed to be cut at 5.5 inches got cut at 5 inches, so I made a shim. And my shim was also too small, so I had a shim to my shim. I know all of these small details that nobody else knows or cares about because I made them and I have seen the imperfections. And when it comes to the life of Jesus, we often overlook the fact that he spent most of his life not doing ministry but doing carpentry work like his father. And the more I work with wood, the more I see the significance of Jesus being a carpenter. It is important because of a lot of the comparisons that take place between carpentry and our lives. We all have lives, but how many of you have the perfect life? A life that is so without blemish or blame that people could look at you from the outside and say, that person is the perfect person. In life, as well as in woodworking, we don't always like the flaws that we have. We all have them, but we don't like them. We don't like to show them. We don't like to even admit at times that we have flaws, although nobody here raised their hands when I asked if you were perfect. We like to try to hide, like that spindle that's got a little too much wood taken out of it. We like to hide our flaws behind us where nobody can see them. And therefore, oftentimes we do not use the gifts which we have been given. In Jeremiah, we read today the call of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, to this point, was a typical teenage boy. Thought to be around 13 years old, he probably had gotten in trouble for things that he should have gotten in trouble for, and probably had gotten away with doing a lot of things he probably should have gotten in trouble for. He was a 13-year-old boy doing 13-year-old boy things. And if we can think back to the days when we were 13, you can probably imagine some of the insecurities that Jeremiah might have had in his own life. And it's funny because when Jeremiah is called by God, he faces these insecurities. He sees himself as being inadequate to what God has called him to do. He says, I am only a child. I do not know how to speak. And you have to think, as a 13-year-old boy, if these are the two things that Jeremiah was willing to admit to God, how many other things was he hiding in his closet, unwilling to admit? I was a 13-year-old boy. There's lots of things I would like to hold in that closet for God never to find out. Or my parents. Mostly my parents, maybe. But God tells him this is what he wants him to do. And God tells him that he is his God and he is with him. Last weekend, Pastor Kelsey and I went away with many of you to our family camp. And if you missed it, you missed a great time. So you should put that on your calendar for next year. We'd love to have you all in attendance there. But while we were there, we talked about gifts and the gifts that we have to share. And despite the fact that God has given us all gifts, our Bible tells us we all have gifts to share, many of us run into the same problem when it comes to sharing our gifts. And the problem is ourselves. See, we like to think of ourselves as the carpenters of our lives. We like to think and have things controlled. We like to see things as perfect. And sometimes in life, we do things right. We do things accordingly. And we look at the end product and say, man, I am proud of that. But there are other times when we make unwise decisions, do things that aren't always good. And we look at ourselves and we say, that was dumb. Let's hide those in the back. We have these chunks. We have these flaws in our lives. And we don't like people to see them. And it's because of these chunks, it's because of these flaws that we oftentimes feel inadequate, like Jeremiah. And when we feel inadequate, we don't like to share our gifts. We don't like to share what we have to offer because we want to be perfect. And not being perfect, allowing somebody to see that we are human, that we are not perfect, can be scary. I don't necessarily like showing people the projects I've made because I know the flaws. I fear that other people might see those flaws too. And they might notice that these projects I've made are not perfect. Is it the same true for our lives? We don't want people to see our flaws, so we often choose not to share our gifts. We choose not to be vulnerable because we are afraid of what others might say or what might come to the surface. We get a feeling of inadequacy, like Jeremiah, when it comes to sharing our gifts, so we don't. But that shouldn't be the case. Every project I have made, there are flaws. I had just built this play structure. It's not a house. It grew beyond a house many, many boards ago. It is a structure. And I was up late last night finishing it for my son's birthday party today. And I can tell you all the places that is not right. This board that I countersank on the wrong side, so I had to flip it over, those kinds of things. Every project I made, this has flaws in it. But every project I've made, I have cut every board. I have sanded it over and over and over again until it was smooth. I assembled it. And then I reassembled it with glue or screws. I have stained it multiple times. I know every single flaw in everything that I have made better than anyone else. And despite not wanting anyone else to see the flaws in the craftsmanship, when my children were young, I put them in that crib to sleep every night. We ate dinner on the table that I made because the space we had was not conducive for any other table I could find every night without fear that it would fall apart when we sat there and ate. You might wonder why somebody who built something with so many flaws would bother to put their children in that crib at night. Because even though that crib had flaws, there are no flaws so great that it would keep that crib from doing what it was created for and created it to do. The same is true for us with our God in heaven. We all have gifts. We all have talents to use and to be shared. We can't let a few flaws, a few nicks get in our way. We can't let the fact that we are too young or too old or our past is too checkered, that we're not a good speaker, that the thought that we've been there and done that before, or the fact that we've never done it that way, so why do it that way now? We can't let fears hinder us, the fear of change, the fear of failure, the fear of saying the wrong thing, or the fear of not knowing what to say, or the fears of what others might say about us. We can't let fears hinder us from what God has crafted us to do. When I was young, I did not always want to be a pastor. I wanted to be a businessman who made lots of money. And when Sunday mornings would come and I would come forward on the children's sermon, I would always sit right next to our pastor. And we didn't have these fancy head mics. We had the handheld mics. And he'd always ask how we were doing in the microphone and then hold it to the side where we could respond. I was the kid that took the responsibility to lean over to the microphone and say, "Good," in the microphone. So he quickly learned not to leave that microphone my way. I grew up as the kid that, if I was still at the church I was at when I was a kid, and oftentimes when I go back to high school, people treat me like Jesus. Now they're like, "Oh my gosh, there's Jesus." But Jesus of our story, they say, "Wait, you're a pastor? How exactly did that happen? Weren't you the kid that did this? Weren't you the kid that stole the mascot from our rival's head during the halftime show of a basketball game? You're a pastor? How does that work?" It works because God is our God who calls us. Jeremiah was told, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Despite what you might think, despite what you might believe, we are not the carpenters of our lives. God is. God knows our flaws. God knows our sins. God knows our greatest fears. And God knows our shortcomings. And you know what? God still loves us because he made us. Each and every one of us. He made us in God's image. When Jeremiah tried to get out of what God had made him to do, God told him, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." We too should not be afraid because God is with us as well. God created us for a purpose. And when I was 10 years old, I did not think it was going to be for this. The flaws and the nicks that we pick up along the way, they don't prevent us from doing what God has set us out to do. It is the fear and the feelings of inadequacy that we get about those flaws, about those nicks, that keep us from using the talents and the gifts we have. I have never put a microphone next to a child's face at a children's sermon in my life. Because I know I have used that nick in my life to be what I hope is a better pastor. Our Creator in heaven knows us better than anyone. God knows how we got the scar on our leg. God knows who our first love was. God knows what each one of us is going through at this moment in time. And God has a purpose for you, for me. Sometimes we have a hard time willing to set aside our fears and not deal with the flaws we have because we feel like they will come out, that people will see us for who we are. But God has created us just the way we are. Created us to be what he has created us to be. And what God has called us and created us to be is for you to find out. What God will do with you in your life at this point in time is why we are here. We all have gifts. We all have talents. We shouldn't let the flaws, the dings, the nicks that we've picked up along the way hold us back from what God created us to be. Because like the crib, despite its flaws, despite my insecurities in it, it does exactly what it was created to do.